High Five Casino lets you play your favorite slot and live table games, like blackjack, with the chance to redeem for real cash prizes. High Five Casino has a giant selection of over 1,200 games, including hundreds of exclusive games only found on High Five Casino. It's always free to play, and free coins are given out every 4 hours. Ready to have your own High Five moment? Visit highfivecasino.com. That's high, the number 5, casino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
What's up, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Believe in Falcons. I'm your host, Will McFadden. Joining me for a special episode is my co-host, Ovi Mahaley, former Falcons fullback, and I might say, freaking podcast extraordinaire, dude. Your conversation with Terry Fontenot was incredible. It absolutely put me to shame. So congratulations on that, dude. That was awesome.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And I've learned from the best, you know, having the great Will McFadden side by side virtually for years has allowed me to pick up a couple tricks or two. So I had a good time. Terry was a great interviewee, and it was a good conversation.
I got to ask you, we've never talked about this. When you do your video cam for these conversations, do you have the mirror my appearance turned on? Because I can't do it the other way. Like, it breaks my brain. I have to be, my head has to like move the way that I think it's going to move when I'm talking.
I don't actually. You know,
you've got it opposite?
I have it at the default. Whatever it is, it is. I'm not as technically sound as you to.
So if you turn your head to the right, this is great podcasting. If you turn your head to the right, is it going to the left on your screen?
It does. It goes the opposite way. If I turn
one
way, so that's, it goes. I've never noticed that.
I've got it turned on, so it's like I'm looking in a mirror. So if I turn to the left, then my dude's kind of turning with me. Yeah.
All right.
Because I'm the same. Like, I'm exactly what you did, where like it breaks my brain if I'm looking over here. I could never be a weather person, I guess. This is all a big preamble into that, but we're not here to talk about technical aspects of the recording process today, Ovi. We've got several topics that we're going to touch on, so we are going to get into all of that. But first, BetOnline is the number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. You can get every stat for every matchup and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. So when the game's over, head on over to the online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action, but be sure to use our promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here. Okay, Ovi, so the reason, we'll just get the news out up front, but the reason why this is a special podcast is this will be my last podcast for Believe in Falcons. I know I see you getting all teary over there, and I appreciate that, Ovi, but it is good news, because this isn't the last time you guys will be hearing me. In fact, I am going back to work for the Atlanta Falcons for their digital team. So I'm going to be joining up with Tori McElhaney, Taryn Wack, Amna over there, and they do incredible work. I'm really excited to be joining the team. So my first day will be the day that you all are listening to this podcast, Monday, June 10th. So we've got mandatory minicamp right around the corner. What I'm going to be doing is basically an editor for their team. So I'll be writing a little bit, not as much as I used to, but I will also be heavily involved with the Falcons podcast strategy. So Falcons Final Whistle, you guys will be able to hear me there after games this season and probably on a few other platforms. So yeah, Ovi, I'm really sad to be bringing this chapter to a close, but you know, just wanted to touch base with you one last time before I go, man.
Absolutely. And at least you're not getting fired. It's not like Believe Falcons say, we don't like that Will guy. Get him out of here. You're like, Ovi, I got to go. They're going to replace me with like Tom Cruise or somebody, you know, better looking.
They could replace me with Tom Cruise at any point. There is a clause in my contract that says they are allowed to do that specifically.
But here's the thing, Will, you are perfect for this job. Obviously you had it before and now you're doing it at an even higher level. And, you know, knowing the Falcons pretty well, spending some time with them, they're an amazing organization, a great team, especially now with the good people inside. To have, you know, my buddy Will get elevated to that spot, I will allow you to leave Believe in Falcons to go and do bigger and better and greater things. Just don't forget about the small people, the little guys down here, down at Believe. Just don't forget about us. But, you know, congratulations. Very happy for you, dude.
It's funny. Thank you. First off, you know, when I was doing the in-person interview segment and just kind of walking around the facility, and it's changed so much. You know, we know fans aren't going to be there at training camp this year, unfortunately, but because they are doing so much to the facility, and I was being introduced to basically, you know, you remember Kevin Winston, but somebody who would have worked for Kevin Winston in kind of that player outreach, veteran advocacy, like all of that side of the organization. And we started talking about all the Falcons legends, you know, that this young lady worked with. And I brought you up and she was like, oh yeah, we know Ovi. And I was like, Ovi's game for anything and everything. And she was like, yes, he is. And so she's the reason that you guys, that you're never with me on draft night. You always make it, you know, the day after. It's because of her. She's stealing you away. But now, hopefully I'll be there right next to you. So yeah, I would love to have you come on a Falcons podcast in an official capacity soon, but there's plenty of time to I guess hammer all those details out. But yeah, that's the news. This will be the last one that you guys hear from me, at least for Believe in Falcons. But let's make it a good one. Let's go ahead and get into the topic of conversation. Ovi, let's start with the league investigation into potential tampering by the Falcons. How much does this concern you? You know, now that we're far away from the draft, and the last time we kind of talked about it, we thought maybe it could have an impact. Is this a mild concern? Is it a major concern? How do you feel about the investigation?
Well, it all depends on what they try to do regarding these consequences. It all depends on if they're trying to make an example out of somebody to deter people from doing similar type things. And, you know, you never know with the NFL. You never know with their rules committee and what's coming down. You've seen slap on the wrist. You've seen some heavy fines and repercussions. But I'm just hoping that they don't try to go outside the norm, because everyone's doing this. That's the dirty little secret. Everyone's, you know, finding ways to have conversations and let the people know that they want to talk to, that they want to talk to them. Everyone's doing it. It's not that it's right, but it's a part of doing business. And I just hate that we got caught. I wonder what the exact moment was when they're like, I
can tell you the exact moment, dude. It was when Kirk Cousins was standing there with 20 cameras in his face.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, was it that simple? It was because
I think it was,
what I, you know, was meaning to convey. Because if that was it, then Kirk needs to pay some of that fine. Kirk needs, you can't just do that.
It was
Kirk.
Just, I mean, on, I know he's a camera, nice guy, bro. Like, you can't even say, no, that's off the record when the record is 15 right. Blinking red dots in your face.
I saw the interview and I was like, they're not going to take him seriously, are they? Because that. It's too easy. Like, he told them what they wanted to hear. Like, that's not, like, you know, submissible in court. If it is, then like we're cooked. Like, I've been worrying for a while that very blatant confession that we were doing things we may not supposed to been doing was going to be used against us in a way that would make all of our competition, are, you know, people, enemies is a bit rough. I'll make everyone in the league just like, you know, get excited because we are a scary team. And we're a scary team for a while because we have a lot of young guys. And quarterback's not young, but the guy we drafted is young. And if they hit us over the head with draft pick, year after year, multiple years, it's going to hurt our, you know, long-term goals. So I just hope they take a chill pill and give us a slap on the wrist and let us live a little bit.
You know, the NFL is famously a pretty casual league, Ovi. I think they're going to follow our advice on this one and not look to, no, they're going to come down hard. I saw in Adam Schefter's report this week, you know, one league source, and this is what Schefter is saying, one league source indicated that the Falcons' alleged transgressions are considered more significant than the Eagles, who are also being investigated. That, you know, leads me to believe that it's not going to be like a seventh round draft pick, right? It's going to be something. And later on in Schefter's report, he mentions the Miami Dolphins had to forfeit their 2023 first round pick and a 2024 third round pick for tampering with Tom Brady and Sean Payton back when they were, you know, I think Tom Brady had he retired at that point, but it was kind of like the weird retiring, unretiring. And I'm trying to think if this was Sean Payton's like gap year or if they were both firmly still with the Saints and the Bucks. But regardless, that is the kind of comparison I think that's being drawn with the Falcons right now. Maybe you're going to get a bigger fine situation depending on who knew what. I don't know if it's a first round pick or a third round pick, even if we split the difference there and it's maybe a second round pick next year, that's kind of substantial, Ovi.
That's very substantial. And if Adam Schefter is right and he's right more than he's wrong, then this is not great because trying to build team for long-term success, we know it's about the people. You got to have talent in the room. And Terry Fontenot has been great by getting us from one of the least talented teams, just, you know, personnel wise to now we have some studs at a lot of these positions. And if we can't draft them young, I mean, we'll work around it, but it's going to be another hurdle for us to get over that we don't need right now. We need all the good mojo we can get to get off that 7-10 rut that we're stuck in. So I would hate for Adam to be right. I'd love for this to be one of the times where he is incorrect because that sounds painful.
Yeah, that would be a very weird situation to be in coming off of this year's draft, which was already a little bit, you know, weird for lack of a better word. So at least it seems like a very good chance that at minimum, it's like a day two pick that could be meaningful for a team that is, again, trying to straddle like both the win now and set things up for the future. And you need draft picks to be able to do either of those goals. Let's talk about another very high draft pick who has yet to really capitalize, I think, on the goals that a lot of fans set for him. Certainly his rookie season was great, but Kyle Pitts has not really hit the mark over the last couple of seasons. Obviously, injuries have played a big, big role in that. And after not being, you know, I think fully 100% for most of last season, it does seem like Kyle Pitts going into his fourth year really is a man on a mission. I know you talked to Terry Fontenot about him. What kind of sense did you get from Terry about their mindset with Kyle going into this year?
What Terry seemed to convey to me was just that Kyle Pitts is a competitor and he wanted to be out there. And he was fighting to be out there more so than they would like, but they wanted to give him an opportunity to play football. That's what you're here for, to play football. They could have gone in an abundance of caution and had him sit, you know, way more than he did. But him going out there, yes, he wanted to show us what he can do. But for those being critical, all the fans in the Falcons universe, we were like, what is going on? What is he doing? Why isn't he doing more? And, you know, not knowing the depth of what his injuries really were. And so Terry was just, you know, it is what it is, but really positive about what Kyle could do this year. And knowing that a fully healthy Kyle Pitts is one of the most dangerous tight ends in the NFL. And we saw what he could do his rookie year. And the reason we were also excited, or the reason we were also disappointed, was that it was amazing for him to start off with so much excellence. I mean, the Pro Bowl your rookie year, if you could go up from there, Pro Bowl, All Pro, first team, you know, Hall of Famer, like, yeah, 3, 6, 5, you're doing big things. And it went the opposite direction. It went from Pro Bowl to downhill. And we're just like, how do you have that physique that skill set, that like, you know, just roll a film and not do anything with it. So Terry kind of just, I understand the fans being upset. I get that, you know, there's expectations, but you haven't seen what I've seen. He's like, you don't know the person that I know. And, you know, he's someone that we're not worried if he's going to rise to the occasion. You know, we are looking forward to the rest of the world seeing him rise to the occasion. That was not those words exactly, but that's what came across to me in the conversation with him about Kyle Pitts. And I'm personally excited to see him.
I mean, Raheem Morris himself said it was a personal vendetta. Like, that was the quote that Raheem Morris gave for Kyle Pitts was, you know, he's working his butt off to get back to, I think, like, show everybody why he was selected as highly as he was. He was selected for a reason, right? And you and I saw him last year, and we were talking about it after training camp. Is like, yeah, this dude looks, you know, great. We didn't know at the time that maybe he was still working his way back through an injury. But the point that you just brought up should not be lost on anybody, because it is the weirdest, like, dichotomy, I think, with this league. Because on the one hand, we champion every player as like a gladiator, as like a tough guy who's got to suit up and go out for battle on game. Like, we use all of these gladiatorial terms to describe NFL players. And yet, and I blame, you know, certainly the prominence of betting, but also something like fantasy football, because what are we called? Fantasy football owners, that you're almost like the owner in major league, where you're not in there worried about the player, like, fighting back through injury, giving it his all. You're just like, is it a win or a loss? You know, if you're not going to be 100%, then you shouldn't even be in there, because I need somebody who is going to be 100% in my fantasy lineup. But I'd rather have a player that it like perseveres through a very difficult season, because that is a testament to mental toughness that I do think matters for championship teams. So if Kyle Pitts is going through a little bit of a struggle here early on, maybe it will pay dividends in the future. And hopefully that starts this season with a bounce back physically, and hopefully pairing him with a little bit of a better quarterback situation and maybe a better offense.
A little bit, like, stop. Well, stop. You said a little bit better of a quarterback. There's nothing
I've already started hedging
about.
Oh, yeah, I've already started in my mind.
Marcus,
you can tell
Mariota,
I'm already back.
That's better than Kirk freaking Cousins. There's a lot of bit of
true
betterness that's coming on that in that situation. I, man, being at practice, dude, going to it was good to the Falcons alumni barbecue.
Yeah, how was that?
It was great, you know. But what I love, and we spoke about it before a little bit, there was more access than I've seen in my entire time as a former player. Like, it wasn't just sit on the far sideline and, you know, use binoculars to see what they're doing on the far field. We could walk to any field, to any place, and as long as we didn't get on the field, just walk in between. Talking to Greg Beatles, talked to Danny, the old trainer that was there when I was there. I told him he's old because I've been retired for, you know, 10 plus years, gosh, 2012, 22. Yeah, 12 years. Yeah. And he's still here. He's like, yeah, I'm just trucking along and seeing a lot of the, you know, the staff. It was just great to be there and, you know, Warwick Dunn and Michael Turner and Algie Crumpler and a bunch of guys. We were all just able to, like, be right there. Like, just like you're here or here. Like, we'd walk by. I saw Jesse Bates, gave him a little dap, you know, Wake Forest love. And they're right here. And they were very comfortable with the former players being like right next to the current player. Obviously we didn't bother them or, you know, distract them, but it was cool that we were there as if we were still part of the family, not just in name only, but like physically we were there. And while there, seeing Kirk in person, seeing, you know, Penix in person, seeing these guys throw, seeing them run, seeing them move, it was a different type of gravitas. Like, it was like a heavy feeling of like, this is legit. We got some substances. This is no like airy, ethereal. We hope that, you know, we might maybe possibly be. No, we got like, hey, we're coming with something with that has some weight to it. And it was exciting. We say it every single year, but this year,
I'm glad Optimistic Ovi made an appearance today.
You can feel it this year. And so Optimistic Ovi, he took a couple of rain checks last couple of seasons, he tried to peek his head out there, but he couldn't stay for too long. I think optimistic Obi is going to come out and stay outside because we got something special with this team.
All I can think about, though, and I know that that was lovely. That was a great, I think, testament to, yeah, the type of influence that a head coach and coaching staff does have on the culture and just like what is allowed in the building, things like that. You just being like, we weren't distracting them or anything. I could only then think about you being like next to Tyler Allgeier and being just like a 6-year-old in the back seat and being like, I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. Like, don't drop the ball. Don't drop the ball. Like, you guys are just being complete like middle school boys. Yeah. Next time, please do that for me, Obi.
I will.
Next time you're ass back.
Promise. You'll be out there so you can see it and you can film it and you can mic me up trying to like almost annoy all the players.
I think we will see a very strong season from Kyle Pitts because there is a lot of pressure on him. Somebody who has less pressure on them. And honestly, I'm a little bit really curious to see what type of production he has in year two. That's Bijan Robinson. A little bit of news kind of over the week just about the health of Bijan Robinson. Seems like he had a little bit of a lingering ankle, something that he just picked up throughout the season, some usual wear and tear that did kind of follow him into the offseason, and he felt like a little bit of slight, like little tweak to his ankle, but that he is in really good shape so far, expects to be, is actually, I think, ahead of schedule is what Raheem Morris said from when they expected him to be back. And they don't anticipate there really being any real concern with Bijan Robinson, who says his hurt ankle is close to 100%. Ovi, because we just talked about, you know, a player coming off of injury, but this is a little bit of a different scenario. From your perspective, if there is a young player, and maybe let's not use Bijan Robinson because he had a huge workload as a rookie, he is a star in this league and for this team, but let's say it's like a third round pick, good player, they're kind of coming into their second training camp dinged up with one thing or another. Would you and the other players in the locker room kind of have the mindset of wanting to see this player tough it out through something like training camp? Or do you have a little bit more of the, let's protect the team, the regular season's all that matters, go ahead and get healthy, training camp's not all that big of a deal, like, and already giving them a little bit of the veteran treatment? For a young player, what would your mindset be?
Great question, Will, because we have people on both sides of that argument. The side I'm on is just, how much of a factor is he going to be during the regular season? And how much competition does he have? Or how many options do we have? If we have like three tight ends and he's, you know, or four tight ends and, you know, three pretty good tight ends, he's a fourth one. He's going to his second season. He's a third round pick. I'm like, hey, we want to see what you got. You should want to see what you got because you're on the bubble. Like you're a special teams guy and, you know, you might be here if you can contribute. Or they see some potential that you might not, if all you are is a special teams guy. And what are you saving it for? You could be out of the league in, you know, a couple months if this doesn't work out for you. But if he's a guy that we've seen in the previous year, give us valuable reps, help us win games, be there for us in all facets, then I'm like, dude, you ain't got to impress me. You don't got to impress coaches. Your game film shows that you can do what we need you to do. You can help us win. There's no benefit to you or the coaches or your teammates by trying to be a tough guy and showing out in training camp to be an all-star and then tweaking your ankle more, hurting yourself more, pulling a hamstring more. And then when we need you, you're not here. And not only are you not here, but not you're not putting more stress on, you know, this defensive tackle because they can't rotate. They got to stay longer, or the offensive linemen are missing people and they got to figure out how to switch the guy from right to left. Don't do that. So, and, you know, the players have our own little radar and coaches have an, you know, even better one as to how good is this guy? How confident are we that he can contribute to the team? And based off that is how they usually make their decision to push him through the pain or say, hey, chill out. We need you for a later date. Now, for me, I was always pushed through the pain because fullbacks, if they had one, even, I'm like, hey, I just got to be here. I was third string fullback in Baltimore in 2003. I had no business making that team. And I had strained thumbs and hamstrings and ligaments and tendons and, you know, strains and sprains and partial breaks. And I feel like some fractures and concussions. I played through all that stuff because if I said, hey, excuse me, pardon me,
Coach, I'm feeling a little bit, you know, sore. My leg is hurt. They would have laughed me out the gosh dang field and say, okay, you want to relax? You want to, you know, take it easy? You go to the locker room and then keep on going to your car and go take it easy there and relax as much as you want. That's what have been my story. But, you know, now they're a little bit, you know, more PC about the concussions and the injuries and stuff, but it still matters where you are in the pecking order when it comes to actually helping your team out.
So somebody like Bijan Robinson, they're going to say, hey man, get healthy. We need you on Sundays. Man, it's all good. But
he's a VVIP, a very, very important person. So he doesn't have anything to worry about.
But you know, that's a great point. Until you either have done enough to prove it on Sundays, so where nobody's going to question you if you are, you know, treating the injury prior to the season or during the practice week or what have you, or you need to prove it in kind of that scenario. Hey, like I am tough enough to give it to you on Sunday because I'm working through it. So that's a great answer. Yeah, it's kind of why I wanted to just delve into that topic a little bit more, because I know that it's a nuanced thing and players have a little bit of an unspoken language with it. Coaches have, you know, a little bit more of a responsibility, I think, to a bunch of different stakeholders with it, but they've got their own language with how they kind of expect things to go there. So it's a cool part of the game.
Because Will, the worst thing you want to be as a player is soft. That S word is the worst word that can be stuck with a player. He's soft. That guy's soft. I don't want to play with him. He's soft. And I've heard it in back rooms. I've heard it in locker rooms and corners.
Man, that label can spread to a team. So if you have too many of those guys, that becomes a team label. And that is like the worst play. Like that's maybe the worst label you could have as a team, right?
Yeah. You don't want a soft quarterback, especially in my line of work as a fullback. Like I can't be soft in any way. I got, you know, it's detrimental to my bank account if I get labeled as a soft fullback. I don't know any fullback. Well, there are some that they're not going to last long, but they're called like he's soft. They're more, you know, I catch a lot of balls at the backfield and I'm good at running the ball. I was a former tailback. I just got a little bit more, you know, a weight on me. The ISO comes, you see him squint his eye, turn his shoulder. And then when you play it back in slow motion, the only word that fits some of these fullbacks is soft. But again, we're in too much of a PC world. We don't want to call him out. And I feel bad sometimes calling out other fullbacks. I am a fullback. I want to make our position kind of rise up, and we need all the help we can get. But I see so much. Like, Will, more than half the fullbacks in this NFL are soft and don't finish the blocks and just position block and they cut. And I never want to be the back in my day guy, but I'm literally the back in my day guy and saying, you know, back in my day, we used to block like this. We used to pancake guys and we get up with our forearms in their necks and we used to talk trash. And now these guys are just, you know, finesse blocking and, you know, that power stuff doesn't seem to be there as much when, you know, as it was back in my day. I said it. I hate it. It's the truth, though. It's the truth.
Hey, man, bring back the Oklahoma drill. Kick the soft out of them. I got it. I got you. I'm right there with you.
9 on 7. Let's go.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists, are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
High Five Casino lets you play your favorite slot and live table games, like blackjack, with the chance to redeem for real cash prizes. High Five Casino has a giant selection of over 1,200 games, including hundreds of exclusive games only found on High Five Casino. It's always free to play, and free coins are given out every 4 hours. Ready to have your own High Five moment? Visit highfivecasino.com. That's high, the number five, casino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, let's end with a little bit of schedule talk, Ovi, because you and I have not had a chance to share a microphone since schedule release came out. And I was honestly pretty surprised by the schedule when it was announced. Not only do the Falcons have 4 primetime games, but just the way that their schedule, like the various stretches on the schedule, are kind of surprising to me. So let's start with the primetime games. When you saw that they were going to have 4, including 3 in the first 5 weeks of the season, I mean, did you think, hey, we've arrived? Finally, it's about time. Atlanta's getting some love. Or were you like, huh, all right, I didn't see that one coming at all.
No,
like,
I mean, I saw it coming because...
Well, you guessed Michael Penix, so we know that you actually have a crystal ball somewhere. Yeah, true. So of course we knew you saw it coming.
Of course I did. Of course
Ovi the Magnificent.
You know, Kirk was one of the most coveted free agents in the NFL this free agency period. So for us to get him and for us to have one, you know, disgustingly glaring flaw in our team, which was quarterback, and have that filled, like the last couple of years, we've been competing for the NFC South Division title with a horrible team. Not a horrible team, but with, you know, a team that couldn't get right. And so now that we've fixed this one position, everyone and their mama, Vegas included, thinks that we're going to be really good because we're going to be really good. And the TV, the people want to watch really good teams. And I think we have a great storyline. I don't think that the, people think, oh, Kirk struggles and Clark call him panics. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's, cute that people think it might happen. But first of all, Kirk's not going to struggle. As long as he's healthy, he's going to be fine. And God willing, he will stay healthy. But we have weapons. We have weapons on offense. We have weapons at the receiver. We have weapons, obviously, Bijan. We have a damn good offensive line. We got a defense that's gotten much better. Jesse Bates leading the way. We're a fun team to watch. The only thing we missed time and time again was that QB. So I wasn't surprised. I hope we can get more. But best believe I'll be at those primetime home games because it's going to be electric at the stadium.
Yeah, you talk about the adjustment of the quarterback position, and that's so true, right? And it's not even that the Falcons lacked a star player at quarterback. It's that they had like a black hole at quarterback because their quarterback play was so uninteresting, right? And that's when you're talking about primetime matchups. The TV broadcasts, they're going to want interesting matchups, interesting storylines. Marcus Mariota, not interesting. Ever. Desmond Ridder. Not interesting. So
no,
they were literally black holes who overshadowed and didn't allow any light from the actually interesting stars that the Falcons have drafted, like Bijan Robinson, like Drake London, like Kyle Pitts.
Couldn't get the ball to him. So like the black hole like sucked in everybody else. It sucked in Drake's life and taking the essence of like
the Falcons Bijan. Is like a fun team to watch. It starts with the quarterback. So you take the black hole out of there. Now you can see the light from the different stars as you're kind of thinking about these matchups. And sure, Kirk Cousins, maybe a dying star, but he's not a black hole yet. That's all I mean by that incredible space analogy. Look, God, I'm just humming on my last podcast, Toby. Thank you.
On fire.
God, freaking gas giant over here. Boom. Yep. Another one. All right. So the last thing I want to ask about the schedule, and then we'll kind of just share some final gut reactions about the upcoming season, and then we're done. Then these mics are cooling forever. But 3 stretches that I wrote down here, Ovi, I want to get your thoughts on just which you consider to be the most important. Is it the first 3-game stretch of the season? So home against the Steelers, on the road against the Eagles, home against the Chiefs. The Eagles game is Monday Night Football. The Chiefs game is Sunday Night Football. So that's the first stretch. Then literally the second 3 games. at home for the Saints, at home for the Bucks, Thursday Night Football, and then on the road against Carolina? Or is it the final three games of the season, home against the Giants, at Washington against the Commanders, home against the Panthers? Which of those three game stretches do you think is going to be kind of like the most important when all is said and done?
I mean, I was going to initially say, after you gave the first one, you know, how you start is very important, and setting a tone for your season, for your team, letting each other know, hey, we're not playing this year. Like, this is the year we're going to go hard. And, you know, forget the first couple games of the season. Like, the first play, you want to hit somebody in the mouth. We used to call a run play, an ISO play, every time we started the game. And they knew it was coming. We knew it was coming. And I reveled the fact that they were like, Ovi, Mike, go send a message. Because how we start is going to dictate the rest of the game. And in seasons, like how you start the first couple of games, you know, usually not always, but more often than not, kind of dictates the tone of the game. But when you name those division games in that second stretch, and knowing how we have been so close to being an automatic playoff qualifier because we've been in a sucky division and had a sucky quarterback and kept on, even with a sucky quarterback, having so much opportunity to win our division. That division game matters. That second stretch has got to be it, you know? So we can do that. It doesn't matter if we lose to anybody not in our division. Our whole existence should revolve around beating the teams in our division, guaranteeing a playoff spot. And then after that, second priority is win the other games. But I'm not scared of anyone in our division. I haven't been scared of anyone in our division for a while, yet we still can't beat them. But now, this year, William, we have a chance to be the bully. We have a chance to be the guy saying, hey, that was cute that you tried to win that game. That's kind of funny that you thought you had a chance, but we're the Falcons. We're the gosh dang Falcons. Have you seen our roster? Have you seen our quarterback? You seen Grady Jarrett? It's not even fair anymore. So we can be that bully in the division, like we were, 2016, like we were in 2010 when I was there at 13-3. Like it was cute that these other teams thought they actually had a chance because we watch them on film. Like, we know we're better than them. They know we're better than them. Like, the fans know we're better than them. They're just hoping, as an underdog, they can come out here and shock the world. But if we play a mediocre game or a good game, we're going to win. Like, we have to really just, you know, shit the bed for them to have an opportunity to win against us. And I want, hopefully, first couple games, build the confidence. And then midseason, we just let everybody know in our division, it's ours to lose.
I remember y'all starting games with the ISO play, because, like, I just remember that. I don't know why, like, until you said that, it wasn't just like something I thought about frequently, but yeah, I remember watching kind of that first play on offense, and it was just a litmus test for, they just moved the line of scrimmage 4 yards forward and Mike just picked up 6 yards on first down. Like, it's going to be one of those days. Offense has it, putting 32 on the board. It's going to be nice. Or yeah, you're right. Like, all right, that was a 2 yard gain. Dudes didn't really move that much. Like, this is going to be a little bit more of a battle. So
uphill grind.
Yeah. But you know how I know it's that second three game stretch? There could not be a less equally created 3-3 for the Falcons. If you win your first three games and you lose your second three games and you're sitting there at 3-3, you're not feeling very good. If you lose your first three games and you win your second three games, all division games, and you're sitting there 3-3, you're saying, hey, we're still totally in this thing, right? Yep. So that is how you know that, as talented as the Eagles and Chiefs are, and the Steelers are a lot like the Falcons this year, and that they kind of are a wild card team in the league, as fun as those three games are, they're not nearly as important as Saints, Bucks, Panthers. And the reason I listed that final three game stretch is maybe the Falcons, you know, are in the thick of things, and that's a pretty easy right now on paper final three games. So they may have to go 3-0 down the stretch. And if they need to, at least right now, I like their chances. Okay, Ovi, let's end things here. I think you and I have tended to be very optimistic when we are giving our predictions for the season. Ultimately, we should have just said 7-10 every single time. That's all it's ever been with us.
Yeah.
So maybe the fact that we're breaking up the band before the season starts guarantees it won't be another 7-10.
Yes.
But just what are your thoughts about the Falcons in 2024?
I don't see why we can't win at minimum 12 games. I think that's roughly what a lot of the pundits are saying. But I would like, and I don't like, I feel that we have a 12 game season, 12 game wins in front of us, because it's just, it's time. Like, I'm tired. They've got to be tired. Like, just think when you said, like, Kyle Pitts has a bone to pick. He has a chip on his shoulder. It's a revenge tour. It's that for everybody who's been with this team at least a year, God forbid two or three, they're tired. I'm tired of watching them live in mediocrity. I'm tired of wishing time after time that we make these plays, that we gut it out, that we call the right, defenses, that we not blow the coverage. I'm tired of waiting for the Falcons to be what I know they can be, which is great. Because I've been on great Falcons teams. I've had the opportunity to, play with Matt and Roddy, Julio and Tony, and we come back and seeing the fans. Like, sometimes the fans just kind of, you zone out. You can't see them because you're focused on the field. But when you take off those blinders and you look at them, the sheer joy, like the craziness, just the feel of that crowd is something that I think deserves to be consistently occurring in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And I think with everyone being tired, I think Arthur Blank's tired. The staff is tired. The administration is tired. And we're all ready to show people that the last 3 years was just a bad dream, a nightmare even, that we're waking up from. We're getting all the crust off our eyes. And we're ready to go out there and play some real freaking Falcons football. So with that being said, 12 games isn't a pipe dream. I think 12 games will be our reality.
It's funny that you say 12. Because I wrote a kind of initial schedule takeaway thing for the Falcolic, and in that my record prediction was 12-5 as well. And I was far and away the most optimistic person in that takeaway. But yeah, I don't know, man. And again, we are probably wrong, because the NFL is just very hard. And they may go 10-7, and it may feel as good as a 12-5, right? So
yeah.
I think that what you and I are getting at is my hope is that this is kind of like a University of Alabama, like, pass rusher who basically for 3 years has just been like honing his teeth, paying his dues, being the fourth string rotational guy, and then like the third string rotational guy with a little bit of a role on passing downs. And then like you're moving up, and now Will Anderson has been drafted and he's gone. And now Dallas Turner's been, and now it's like your turn, and you're in that prime spot, and you get to go attack, and then you get to put up 12 sacks over your last, each of your last two seasons. Like, I hope that the Falcons have paid their dues over the last like 3 years, that they have been resetting the roster in the way that I think you and I both believe that they have, Ovi. Mm-hmm. And certainly that they're more rebalanced. Maybe not rebalanced, that's not a word, but they're balanced in a way that they weren't. Certainly the last time I was there, when it was, Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Russell Gage, like the offensive line had some money tied up, but you weren't really sure what that was right there. So they clearly have, I think, a sense defensively of what they're trying to do. They have a head coach who's defensive oriented, but really kind of has an eye on the whole team. Offensively, they're going in a new direction with scheme and with quarterback, but they've got kind of the core guys still here, and so maybe what to expect a little bit. So even though a lot of people I think are looking at this Falcons offseason and pointing to the waste of a first round draft pick, I kind of look at this as maybe people are just looking at the Falcons record the last 3 years and not at what they were actually doing last year, which is playing good defense and just absolutely getting their heart ripped out by the quarterback position time and time again. If they can figure out quarterback, which they believe they have, keep the defense playing kind of around the level they were last year, and just hope that the quarterback play elevates your offense to where it just should be or should have been, that should be 10-7 easy. It could have been 10-7 last year. Then I think you and I are saying, all right, let's put a little bit on top of that. Now let's say Richie Grant, you got a chance to make the playoffs. What do you got? You know, like AJ Terrell, you've got a chance to get to the back to the playoffs. Like, what do you got? So actually, I don't think AJ's actually been in the, AJ's never been in the playoffs. So let's get AJ Terrell to the playoffs, Obi.
Let's do it. I'm all for it, man. Like you said, I think that it's time. They're tired. Like I'm tired of watching them be tired. So with everyone wanting to prove something, I think 12 wins, 10 definitely. I'd put money. I don't bet on Vegas because I lose all the time, but I would bet money that we would get at least 10 wins. And in my heart, I feel like 12 is going to occur because these guys are going to push through some pain and push through some, some doubt and show themselves that we're a lot better than people think we are. But 10 for sure, 12 is what I'm going with.
I love it, dude. I love it. And normally, if you say that you're tired, I want to unburden you, but I'm just going to have to load even more burdens on you because this is it. The podcast is yours from here on out, my friend. I can't wait to see what you will do with this space, but you're in charge of getting the next episode up, buddy.
I am. And good luck. I don't know about all this extra work you're putting on me, man. I think they're going to maybe find another co-host, but it's going to be hard to fill those shoes. You got some big ass shoes that somebody behind you has to fill. I'm like, well, Will didn't do it like that. Will read the the thing better. We'll have a sponsor talk a little and we'll have better questions. I'll be easy on the guy, but or gal, who knows?
Get Terry Fondo in here.
Yeah, Terry's gonna quit his job and say, "Believe in Falcons." That's where I need to be. Yep. But I have appreciated you, William. Working with my crazy schedule, being very forgiving with me trying to come back from work and with my kids, and you have kids now, so you kind of understand my lovable plight. But it's been truly a pleasure to do this podcast with you. When they called me about it, I'm like, all right, I'll do it. But I don't put me in no slouch. Don't put me in no like guy who's going to be just weird and a pain to work with. And they didn't. They gave me the Will McFadden, and I've enjoyed the podcast. It's been able to let me scratch an itch because, for those who don't know, I was straight out of football and into TV and radio. Worked with CBS, worked with Fox, Sports Illustrated, called games for Raycom. I called Lamar Jackson's game at Louisville. I even called a Wake Forest game, my old alma mater. And I was planning to be, an ESPN personality. But then I went from that dream into medical sales. And I spent a lot of my time in medical sales. But in driving across the state and across the Southeast, helping doctors and hospital systems, I'm like, I want to scratch my little media itch. Like, I still got something to say because just yelling at the wall or my
got to get the tapes out. Son,
he's like, Dad, I don't care.
You're just going into truck stops and just like listen to all my football takes.
Yeah. So they didn't want to hear me. But now this podcast allowed me to be heard and to get my voice out there. And you've made it very easy, very fun. Everyone, Will's so much taller than he looks. Looks like he's 5'1". He's 8'2". He's the tallest man I've seen True. In a long time. And when we met, I was like, gosh dang, Will, you can't just.
That was not the tell number this, one pandemic takeaway that I learned was that anybody who had ever met me, like I just have small guy energy apparently. When you see me
in the camera, like for you, like takes away like 20 pounds, like it puts on weight for everybody else. For you, you look smaller.
My neck alone is like 2 feet long, so I mean that you can see that on camera. I don't know.
True. It's just hard to see it in person, but not Will. I had a great time. I appreciate you being on here. I appreciate you, working with me week in, week out, and I'm gonna miss you, buddy. I'm holding back the tears because, like I said, soft. Isn't something that O'Malley is. I'm not soft. I'm all right. I'm not gonna cry. So
I'm not crying. You're crying.
Yeah.
I'm like the crying Jordan meme over here. Jesus, hold it together, Evie.
Good time.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Bet Online. This was honestly so much fun. I had no idea what to expect when they first reached out. Didn't know what I was getting into. Just kind of started and it's so much fun to look back and see how far both of us have come in this. short amount of time. And again, I hope that this is not the last time you and I will share a microphone. In fact, you know, the next time we do it, it may be in a full-blown studio up in Flowery Branch. We may be talking about a training camp. So let's hope that that's the case. But for one last time, everybody, take care.
High Five Casino lets you play your favorite slot and live table games, like blackjack, with the chance to redeem for real cash prizes. High Five Casino has a giant selection of over 1,200 games, including hundreds of exclusive games only found on High Five Casino. It's always free to play, and free coins are given out every 4 hours. Ready to have your own High Five moment? Visit HighFiveCasino.com. That's high, the number 5, casino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Michelle Beadle. That's right, the Michelle Beadle. You're welcome. You love talking about sports. I love talking about sports. You know the only thing cooler than talking about sports? Sports! And right now, all your favorite sports are on SiriusXM. I'm talking every NFL game, every game from the NBA, NHL, MLB, every NASCAR race, golf major, major conference college sports, and all the top games in the WNBA. If it gets your heart pumping, it's on SiriusXM. So start your free trial of SiriusXM today. Visit SiriusXM.com/believe.